That's why they make me sit in my own seat during Christmas, because no one wants to touch me with a 29.5-foot pole.
I saw a meme that was like, maybe the Grinch wouldn't be so bad if not every 5 seconds some guy was singing about how much a jerk he was. How terrible this guy is.
The soundtrack to your life is you're a mean one. Yes, I am.
I am what you tell me I am.
You walk outside and people are just yelling at you how mean you are.
Yeah. Are we talking about anything useful today?
Oh, we are.
Excellent.
But first,
hey,
welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast. Where we are exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
Hey, Patrick.
And Katie Phillips.
Hello.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
We're doing great. Yes. It's 10:30 in the morning, and it's already been a day, but we're doing great. It's wonderful. Yes.
It's been a week, it's been a day, it's been a morning, all these things.
Tis the season to be stressed out and whatever, and, you know.
Jolly.
Have crazy laughing fits for no particular reason.
Yes, to be jolly, season to be jolly. All right, I've got an article for us to look at.
All right, here we go. Right. Let me get my what crazy things are happening in the world of the world.
Here we go.
How many pieces of paper do you have?
I
don't know if the podcast can appropriately hear the shuffling that's happening here.
They probably can't. Okay. All right. Nigerian president? I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his name.
Oh.
But he wants you to know something.
Okay. What does he want us to know?
He wants you to know that he is not a clone.
Good tip. All right. Yes. He came out and said that I'm not a clone?
Yes.
Okay. Evidently, so are people telling him that he is a clone?
Evidently, he was sick for a number of weeks.
Sure.
And the rumor is that the president died and was replaced by a lookalike.
Oh, Saddam Hussein used to do this. There are rumors about him all the time. Yes. And Fidel Castro as well, yes. I think. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so he wants everybody to know he has not been cloned.
All right.
But what I'm if that's say something. The clone saying that?
That's exactly something a clone would say.
Right. Right.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. So how does one go about proving that they're not a clone? Mm. Like, how could I prove that I'm not a clone?
Well,
I don't know.
The real, you know, you have to have like a special I'm not a clone, like safe word.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
When I'm like, what's not clone word? You have to like bring that up.
This is kind of like in Harry Potter when they're trying to prove that the other people are not using the Polyjuice potion to impersonate someone. Yes. And they have like a, what did Dumbledore say to me on the third day of the fourth month? I'm like, how would anyone remember that? But they know, so... Yes. That's what I need. I need to establish a safe word with someone that allows me to prove that I'm not a clone.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But what if the person that I establish it with is a clone?
Oh, dun dun dun.
Oh, man.
The plot thickens.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. This is not good.
Rattling around. Is this person next to me my wife?
Am I surrounded by clones?
Am I a clone? I just don't know it.
Would I know if I were a clone? Probably not, right?
I don't know.
I don't think clones know they're clones.
Or do they? Does Dolly the sheep know that she's not...
Well, does any sheep know that they're a sheep?
This is existential right here.
Stormtroopers would be a better example, Patrick. Let's go into the... Do the stormtroopers know that they're a clone of one another?
Hmm. I don't know.
Because that's why they wear the masks all the time. They have no identity.
We've only seen one with the mask off.
Well, and the original. You saw the one from whom all the stormtroopers were cloned.
Yes.
In the prequels.
Yeah, we saw that. Well, I don't count those.
But he doesn't look like the guy who we see with the mask off.
They're different races.
Right. So here's a problem.
Their clone tech needs some work.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Although I do would like if a...
I do would like. All right.
I do would like if a... Instead of a cloning, you know, a deceased public figure, maybe just animate them through like a Weekend at Bernie situation.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Where you're just like moving their arms and legs. Hey, everybody.
I would love to see a movie about that, about a, you know, someone reanimating a Nigerian president to maintain power. I think that'd be a great, I don't know, somebody would make that. Probably National Lampoon would probably make that movie. Yeah.
All right, well, to all our listeners out there, hopefully you have not yet been cloned.
Or turned this off.
Yes. Or you've survived the first few minutes of the podcast.
It's getting crazy. Yes.
Just hit fast forward next time. We'll get to some good stuff eventually.
Skip 15. There we go. Yes, yeah, there all right.
All right. So today we are going to take a look at kind of this concept or idea of like sharing faith. What it looks like for us to go, not just sharing faith with like our fellow believers,
sure. mm-hmm.
but what it means to share faith with those that are unbelievers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all this work for the church, so probably at some level we've been engaged in this, but
yeah.
we can say our level of engagement might look a lot different than probably your average church member or your yeah. average listener.
Yeah, when it's a profession to be in front of people and share your faith,
sure.
it's a different experience mm-hmm. than...
Yeah.
Than an average person walking down the street.
Yeah, sure. And probably even for us, the majority of time sharing faith may be, I do this thing where I'm going to talk about Jesus
mm-hmm.
and people come to
right.
it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, sometimes it's harder to do the reverse, where I'm going to where the people are mm-hmm. and talking about Jesus there.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if, because there's at least a, somewhat of a built-in of like, if people are coming to our thing, they're at least open to hearing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, sure. Because they've already come. They've yeah. taken the initiative at that
yeah,
point.
They've, yeah, they've walked through a door at mm-hmm. some level.
Right.
You know, so it's not like a surprise
mm-hmm.
that the church is going to talk about church things.
Right.
Why? <It's>,
but we do have this call, you know, from Jesus
mm-hmm.
to share faith.
Yeah. You know,
and that's just a church-wide call, and I also think mm-hmm. it's somewhat of an individual call
yeah.
as well. And so we have kind of two big examples that I've seen in the news lately of
okay.
sharing faith.
All right.
So which one do you want to hear first? Like a good example or a bad example? Or not, or a mixed example, I would say.
Let's do
mixed first.
Yeah.
Let's
mixed first. Okay, so are you familiar with this missionary, John Chow, who has been recently killed in the process of doing mission work?
I know just a little bit about this. I don't know a whole lot.
Yeah.
So he was a missionary. He was, you know, 27 years old, so younger guy. And he felt called to go to this island off the coast of India that has not had, that has been kind of an isolated island for hundreds of years.
Oh, wow.
So they've had no contact with
right. yeah.
The outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Every time somebody goes to this island, they are killed.
Okay.
And they speak a language that nobody really knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he felt, I guess, the call of God to go to this island.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did training. So he wasn't just like, hey, I feel called to this God to go to this island. Book me a flight to India.
That's it. Let's go.
Get me right. a boat. And I'm going on. So he did training. He did try to go through, I guess, proper channels.
Mm-hmm.
The Indian government said, you're not allowed to go there
because mm-hmm.
you're going to get killed.
Right.
He ignored that, got into a kayak, and kayaked over and was
mm-hmm.
killed
right.
on the island there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what has happened. And obviously every death, I think, is a tragedy, and that's sad
sure.
that that's what happened to him. But if you've not been familiar, kind of the secular response to this has not been pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not been like, man, John Chow, what a martyr for faith. It's
yeah.
very, what an idiot kind of
yeah.
thing.
Right.
At best,
right.
what an idiot. And
yeah.
at worst, it's like, this is an example of colonialism. It's, he's certainly not held in high regard to a large portion
mm-hmm.
of the world. So why do you think that is?
Well, you know, historically, right, the missionary movement has been directly attached to governments and
sure.
the effort to colonize local peoples. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that was the whole motivation behind moving into South America and Central America was to spread mm-hmm. areas that had land. And as you got into those areas, then you, of course, wanted those people to know Jesus. But by know Jesus, you often forced conversions
mm-hmm.
Through
sure.
torture or
yeah.
other means. You,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a long and messy history of
absolutely.
Of the church committing yeah. all sorts of abuses. So I can, at one level, understand a cultural distrust for this kind of movement. I do think it's drastically different for one man to feel a call from God and try to go and share a message
sure.
than it is for a government entity to say,
mm-hmm.
we need to go
right.
and do this.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and question whether or not John had a call from God.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
I think that's between him and God, and I'll trust that he was in a community that helped him seek through that process. There's certainly
mm-hmm.
a rich history in Acts and in the tradition of the early apostles of people going to foreign places where they knew they would likely be killed and often were.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, from our cultural standpoint, there is an element of, well, that was a really dumb move.
Right.
Sure.
Like, you know, for hundreds of years, these people have killed anyone that comes to the island.
Yes.
What did you expect to be different? But
mm-hmm.
you know, at the same time, I don't know that if I had felt a call from God to do something that you would have been able to stop me either. I don't know.
Sure.
Right? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that I would have gone by myself. Maybe I...
Well, the kayaking aspect alone, right? That, right. I'm going to need somebody else with me on that. That's a lot of
maybe
work.
Maybe I would have built a team of people with me before I went.
I think that's probably the biggest issue I have with this, you know, as an outside perspective, is the lone missionary.
Sure.
Yeah. It definitely gives image, whether John meant this or not, of the lone savior coming into the wilds land to bring people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that is not a model I think that is healthy or right for the church. Now, I think John very well could have felt, this is my calling, I'm supposed to do this. But I also know for myself, there have been times where I felt I've diluted myself into thinking, God wants me to do something.
Sure.
And usually it's something that I also kind of want to do.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's perfectly reasonable. And I think that's why I would hope that he had a community around him that helped him through that process to avoid the potential delusion, right? To afford that potential of, well, this is really just something I want to do and I'm going to say that God wants me to do it as well, to kind of think through that process. But yeah, the lone savior, lone ranger aspect of it is... is concerning, because we get into that in our own lives too, thinking that either we need to save ourselves or we are the only ones who can save others, and that's a really hard place to be, and it's not, I think, scriptural. I don't think that's Jesus's call for us either. I mean, even early in the Gospels, right, Jesus doesn't send the disciples out alone. He sends them out two by two and says, you know, go with someone. And so it just doesn't seem like the model that biblically we're called to follow.
Yeah, also, and these are things that probably, it'd be easy to overlook if you were unaware of these things, but since they are an isolated tribe living on this island, John's presence could bring about illnesses and sicknesses that they're not exposed to. He brought materials with him that maybe, you know, hundreds of years of advancements in technology that they were not experienced, and now all of a sudden they have these things. And what does that look like?
Yeah.
How do they work now that they have scissors? You know, like, and then I have one pair of scissors for the tribe. You know, like, and so, you know, it'd be like if a piece of alien tech just landed here. Would that be like, oh, thank God we have this new piece of advanced technology.
I call it the Instant Pot. That's the alien tech that has recently landed in our...
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
No?
Yeah.
It's quite alien.
But it's
convenient.
Obviously, it's a complex situation. But it is also weird, you know, that we have this martyr, this person who did literally die trying to spread the faith and is ridiculed for it. And I think that's a hard part, right? Like that.
Well, but I think that's... You know, culturally, if you are not a part of the tribe of Christianity, of course you're going to ridicule that.
Sure.
Like, I don't think we should be surprised that people outside that think that that was inappropriate or crazy. I mean, I would guess that people ridiculed the early apostles as they went to their various deaths as well. I mean, I think that's just, that should not surprise us. You know, Jesus warns us of as much that you're going to be mocked and ridiculed when you do this on account of my name. So I think it's, particularly hard for us because in the United States, throughout the last, you know, 200 plus years of our history, Christianity has by and large been the Christianity of the culture. And all of a sudden that is shifting a little bit and people are more willing to say that we're something other than Christian or we're not anything. We're just a religious, right? And so now all of a sudden Christianity is being exposed to some of the same challenges and struggles that Christianity and other parts of the world have been exposed to since the beginning of Christianity, right? And so I think that we're now having to come to terms with the fact that, hey, not everybody agrees with us, and wrestling with what does it look like for us to continue to share our faith in that context.
So I have another example here, I think, about somebody sharing their faith, and I think this one is probably going to be pretty positively received because it's Chris Pratt. Who doesn't love Chris Pratt?
Who doesn't?
Right? Yeah, he's great. We all love him.
Parks and Rec and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Good he's stuff. Great. He's a really great guy.
So dreamy.
So dreamy.
He is dreamy.
Chris Pratt. but he recently spoke at Disneyland. They have a Christmas celebration or ceremony.
California, it is not Florida, right?
California.
Okay.
It is invite only.
Oh.
So.
Fancy.
It's fancy.
Maybe we should do our Christmas Eve service invite only.
At Disneyland?
No, here. Oh. But like, here's the new marketing strategy, right? Yeah. You make it seem super exclusive.
Ooh.
And so you send out invitations that say,
bouncer at the door, are you on the list? That's type right. of thing, you know?
But everybody's on the list. Because everybody's welcome. See how, yeah.
Are they going to give you their tithe at the door? Like,
preferably.
Right. Yes, yes. slip you the check, yes. I like
new
it.
New marketing strategy.
Let me in first. Here's yes. a 20.
That's right.
Well, at this Christmas celebration at Disneyland, mm-hmm. Chris Pratt read the gospel story from Luke, the Christmas story from Luke, and then...
Like Linus in the Christmas...
Like Linus, yeah. yes. And then shared this. And I think this is really, really a neat statement from him. He says, in his speech, he said, "The more we love our children, the more we understand the capacity to which we are loved by our Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. That should give us a great deal of comfort and hope. Thank you. Merry Christmas."
Hmm.
So what do we think about that statement?
I'm curious what the context of loving your children. I mean, I think it's good. I'm just curious what led him to talk about loving our children. I don't know what the previous part of that.
He does talk about like what it's like to be a parent.
Oh,
and
okay.
So he was talking about those things, and I think it's probably appropriate at Disneyland because mm-hmm. it's a place where you bring
sure.
kids.
Okay. Right. All right. I gotcha.
I can relate to that. I think becoming a parent was the first time that I truly felt unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, marry your spouse and you love your spouse and that's mm-hmm. wonderful and great. But like when you have your own child,
sure.
like you're like, I will stand in front of a bus for you. Like,
right.
you know what
and
I mean?
I will simultaneously be furious at you
yes.
and stand in a bus
yes.
to protect you. Like
yes.
I will do both yeah. of those yeah. things
yes.
at the same time.
But it's a whole different love.
Sure.
Yeah. With well,
it's
child.
They have a very dependent life
yes.
on you.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
so your spouse does not.
And,
or,
right.
For the most part.
And you can relate that to what is God's love for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are his children. We are, it's an unconditional love no
yeah.
matter what.
I mean, theologically, I think it's a pretty, pretty straightforward statement,
sure.
right? You know, when we practice the act of loving someone who is dependent on us,
mm-hmm.
we have a better understanding of what it means to be loved
yeah.
by God. I think what's more shocking or perhaps surprising for us is that this very public figure
mm-hmm.
who's very prominent in a Hollywood setting that's
sure.
not known for promoting this particular value
mm-hmm.
has now on a couple of occasions, I think this is the second time recently, that Chris
mm-hmm.
Pratt has stepped forward and made kind of these public statements of faith in
sure.
very non-Christian settings. This one's slightly more Christian in that it was a Christmas celebration, but it was
sure.
still
right.
a Christmas celebration at Disneyland. This was
yes.
not a worship service. This was
yeah.
a you know
mm-hmm.
holiday festival that they titled
mm-hmm.
a Christmas celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he several months ago spoke at the MTV
that was it, yeah.
Movie mm-hmm. Awards
yes.
and gave
yeah.
a great speech. If
mm-hmm.
you've not heard it, Google it. YouTube it. It's really neat. It's
yeah.
really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he talks about his faith and God kind of intertwined within that speech.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I would say Chris Pratt did not get any kind of public backlash
right.
towards
no,
those
yeah.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some from Christians I read, but because he doesn't talk about Jesus enough, but can't please them all.
That's right.
So why do you think Chris Pratt says a very public declaration of faith? Everybody's kind of on board, you know, at least it's like neat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but John Chow dies for faith and the secular world is kind of maybe more against.
Oh,
what is
wow.
the difference between these two statements? Are these two ways of evangelism?
Yeah. I mean, from Chris, right, it's relatively safe.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I don't know that Chris really put his life or his career in jeopardy by making these statements.
Sure.
And maybe,
there are some people who would say he did.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
In a Hollywood that doesn't value traditional Christian.
But he has also said himself that he does not feel like he's
yeah.
doing, like
sure.
that he has always felt supported in his beliefs
mm-hmm.
and like Hollywood has not had a problem with the fact that he is openly Christian and
mm-hmm.
practicing as a Christian like that.
Yeah.
He has not felt like it is a threat for him to put that on. So, I think we can try to read that in, but that has not been the experience that he's
sure,
brought
absolutely.
To the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to attack someone who's dead, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure.
I hate that sounds
John
really...
John Chow can't defend himself.
Right, that sounds
yes.
really callous, and I'm sorry for that. But, you know, if you're looking for a kind of target...
Yeah,
that's an easy option. I don't know.
Well, and I think too. I mean, obviously, Chris Pratt has a
Pratt.
has a platform that
a platform.
No, you know, like I mean, he's given a platform that
yeah,
he can
sure,
stand up
sure.
and publicly say, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah, what would have been shocking? Sorry, go ahead. No, I'll finish your fine. Thought, then you're I'll fine. Talk. No, I've, I no, have no. the patience
and,
of an adult.
And on the other hand, John, I don't know, John, right. you know, yeah. like, sure. I'm not familiar with who he
Prior
is.
Prior to his death, I did not know this person.
Right. Yes. And so, for me, I mean, for probably a lot of people, we can go, oh, we love Chris Pratt, he's so great, we've seen him in all these things, and then... Who's John? John's the guy that sure. went across in a boat by himself mm-hmm. to yeah. an island. Like, yeah. come on.
Yeah.
You know, like, who does that?
Right.
So I think as an, you know, mm-hmm. just as a...
Yeah. Well, and culturally,
right.
what if Chris Pratt had gotten up and talked about the value of Islam?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
At a Christmas celebration, right? Sure. I don't think he would have, that we would be having the same conversation right
Probably
now.
Probably not.
Or
yes.
that the reaction would have been the yeah. same. But, I mean, you easily could have transferred a few of his words
yeah.
And it would apply to the Muslim faith in the same way that it applies to our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because there are so many tenets that are shared mm-hmm. between Christianity and Judaism or Islam. You know, it all comes mm-hmm. back to Abraham, right? And so there's yeah. a lot of stories and pieces that we share in that path.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, because culturally we still... are a Christian majority country,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, when somebody talks about Christian values mm-hmm. on a public platform, we support that.
Yeah,
we're okay with it. Yeah. You know, but it seems like we're willing to exaggerate the intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good way to say that. Yeah. I know where I'm trying to go, but I'm not sure how to put it into words sure. at this moment. So
well,
I'll just stop for the moment.
Let me change gears here for you.
Excellent.
I think
yeah.
when it comes to us, though, now let's make it this more personal.
Okay.
The idea of, like, I'm going to go to my neighbors, my friends, or my coworkers
mm-hmm.
and share that I am a Christian and this is what I believe about faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say probably here, even in America, in this public,
yeah.
you know, still a Christianity, definitely on the decline, but still, you know, the most dominant one
yeah. mm-hmm.
worldview in mm-hmm. America, that we probably expect an outcome more similar to John Chow than we do to Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Like, we expect that people will be resistant,
yep.
mm-hmm.
will be attacked,
right.
will be shunned, versus everybody will be kind of on board with us and celebrate
mm-hmm.
with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we expect. And why do you think that is? Why do we sometimes, as Christians, expect our message to be met with such resistance, even as we can admit, it's not like we're going to people who have no concept of
right.
Christianity.
Right.
If you live in the United States, you have some concept of what it means
Correct.
To be a Christian.
And yeah. I'm sorry, we're assuming all our listeners live in the United States,
at
which is
point.
Probably a safe assumption. But
at this moment,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's a really...
That's a good
powerful question.
Question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Katie answer first.
Oh. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I have to think about this.
Sure. I do have an answer, an idea for it. I'd say probably we expect that because we've never done it.
Ew.
That's reasonable. I think we've let ourselves exaggerate the negative again, right?
Yeah.
So we've heard these stories of someone being attacked for their faith.
Sure.
Or we've read these chain emails about somebody being attacked for
sure.
their faith, which... may or may not have any basis in reality,
mm-hmm.
but we assume then that that is the reality
sure.
that we're going to face.
And
you know, what was that email that went around? I saw it when I was in high school, and then again when I was in college, that like the kid stands up before the professor who says God doesn't exist, and the kid says, well, I believe in God, and,
mm-hmm.
and then God will prevent this piece of chalk from dropping, says the professor, and he drops the chalk, and it
yes.
miraculously bounces off his arm and falls onto his shoe and rolls onto the floor and doesn't break. And in however many years, this had never happened to the professor, and suddenly the professor...
The
professor runs out of the room,
yes.
and that student turns around and faces the whole room and tells them about Jesus,
yes.
and... Were they Albert Einstein? I've never
and everybody clapped.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never heard the version where they're Albert Einstein because
yeah.
he was Jewish, but I think.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
It's a fake story.
Yeah, but like we take stories then like
yeah.
that, like, and we think to ourselves, well, if I'm going to be out promoting my faith, I'm going to be persecuted
sure.
in the same way that the disciples were, in the same way that
and
person was.
I think too, it's the question of where are we out promoting our faith?
Right.
Because if you're
yeah.
going out and promoting your faith to people who you know are atheist or who don't agree with you or who
mm-hmm.
are completely not in the same Christian place you are,
yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. then yeah, you might get a lot of pushback because mm-hmm. they're very strong in what they believe in as well.
Sure.
So I think the question is, are we're not necessarily, well, maybe we are because we're church staff.
Sure.
We are on our own platforms where mm-hmm. a lot of the times the three of us are speaking to and encouraging people who are of like faith mm-hmm. and who are with us every week or, you know, twice a month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If we're out promoting our faith to people who don't agree with us and who don't believe like us, mm-hmm. then we're going to get, probably are going to get some resistance yeah. there. Yeah. So I think that's the question. Where are we promoting our faith? I know for me, I don't necessarily go out to people and just start shouting from the mountaintops, mm-hmm. I believe in God. Sure. God is great. He sent Jesus. Yeah. I tend to be more the action part in sure. the world. I'm not declaring mm-hmm. that this is what I believe to people. Yeah. This is the gospel. I am giving out an extra coat, buying things sure. for people mm-hmm. are in
and,
need.
You know,
and so I don't know. I mean, so that's hard for me to yeah.
Sure. There's plenty of good reasons to live in that manner, right? I think there's the quote from St. Francis of Assisi, I think, who says, you know, preach the gospel always, when necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially, you know, getting at the idea that our actions yeah. do matter way more than anything that we're mm-hmm. going to say.
Sure.
And I think that we unfortunately kind of have this pole mm-hmm. where we either think we have to be on a street corner shouting
right.
about Jesus, or we only yeah. serve. There's this middle ground mm-hmm. where you're serving first, and when opportunity presents itself,
yes.
you have an opportunity to share
sure.
the story. Yeah. And I think that one thing we miss is that faith is never, or at least in my experience, has never been passed without relationship first.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And so for me to walk into a room where I don't know anybody, mm-hmm. and to stand up on a table mm-hmm. or to stand on mm-hmm. on a chair and say, I support Jesus, let me tell you about how Jesus can save your soul, is probably mm-hmm. going to be ineffective. Mm-hmm. And I
right.
may well be ridiculed and mocked mm-hmm. and thrown out of that establishment
right.
yeah.
for that. I would think rightfully so, because who am I to come into your room mm-hmm. and disrupt this process.
Sure.
But if I walk into that room and I build relationships with everybody in that room and I get to know them and I know your story and I know your kids and I know your wife
right.
and I know your, mm-hmm. you know, I know where you work and we have lunch mm-hmm. and we then mm-hmm. over a course mm-hmm. of time, I have an opportunity to
yeah.
say, hey, let me tell
right.
you about this experience that I've had mm-hmm. about this relationship that I have with Jesus.
Absolutely.
I find that to be a much more meaningful thing, because then they see that I react differently to them
mm-hmm.
Than others in the world do. I mean, this was
yeah.
The college ministry that I was a part of at Ohio State University. It was called Jacob's Porch. And I worked there while I was in seminary a little bit. They had atheists who regularly attended Bible studies with
sure.
them.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they were there just to be a contrarian, but oftentimes they were there because this was a group of people who with whom they felt included,
right.
even though they didn't share any of their beliefs.
Yeah.
Like, I feel welcomed and
yep.
accepted here. And
yeah.
that's a valuable testimony, mm-hmm. if nothing else.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, right, God doesn't need us to believe in God in order for God
mm-hmm.
to exist.
Sure, absolutely.
So if I meet an atheist and they choose not to believe in God,
mm-hmm.
my God does not suddenly cease to exist
yes.
because this person
right.
has
God
said
God is
God's
not like
real.
A Tinkerbell.
Right.
We have
right.
to clap
right.
louder.
Exactly. Yeah.
if the whole world is praying louder, he gets
right.
stronger.
Right.
You
yes.
know,
not
that's
how
not,
God
this,
works.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I've definitely heard this idea of, like, actions versus words as Christians. But the fact of the matter remains, for me, I'm only a Christian because someone shared that with me.
Right.
Mm. Through words.
Mm-hmm.
So words matter. I think sometimes we excuse our efforts in the world
mm-hmm.
by saying words are kind of hard,
yeah.
and so I'll just
right.
do actions.
And I think that we do that in the Lutheran Church in particular
yes.
Because so many of us within the Lutheran Church are Christian because we were raised that way.
Yes.
Sure.
That there was not a particular point that I can point to in my life where somebody shared
yeah.
Jesus with me. I knew about Jesus from the time I knew how to walk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I really value you bringing that
mm-hmm.
Conversation to the table, because you had a very different experience of
sure.
coming to faith than either Katie or I, or than many mm-hmm. people sitting in a Lutheran context around the world. And so that's,
mm-hmm.
I think we often find within the Lutheran Church especially, well, let's just go out and serve somebody. And then they'll know Jesus through that, and we don't
sure.
actually have to
right.
say anything, and we forget
well,
that
right.
we do.
Well, probably in the historical context, at some point, someone shared words with someone you're related to in the past.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
They did.
Yeah. You probably don't have a lineage to Peter, you
right.
know, like, you know,
well,
like,
maybe.
You know, like, you
right.
do your cheek swab
right.
and see
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 23andMe or whatever.
Right.
Yes.
Ancestry.com.
Yes, yeah. But I think I think so. One, I think we expect to be persecuted because we've never actually done this, and I think we also expect to be persecuted because the ways sometimes we do this, or the way we've seen Christians do this, is, well, kind of jerky.
Yeah.
I have a story I was going to say earlier. Yeah. I remember being in high school, and again, grew up as a Christian, as a Lutheran, my entire life. Yeah. So yeah. I believe, you know.
Sure.
And I remember kids in high school who would carry around their Bibles, which is great, but then would just, not even having a relationship with anyone, mm-hmm. just start talking and saying how wonderful God is and that everybody should believe in God. And we're just like mm-hmm. throwing their beliefs at people. And I was like, oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. So I kind of left with a, like, I don't really know that that's, you know, what I want to be doing, or is that what I want people to perceive Christians to be, you know what I mean? I think when you're shoving it down people's throats all the time, that's not necessarily very inviting or welcoming for people. I mean, that's just my opinion. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar experience when I was in college. I was going to college, studying religion to become a youth minister. That was my intention.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a ministry on campus and, you know, signed a little card that said I'd love to know more. And so one of the staff people from that ministry and a upperclassman came to my dorm room one afternoon and wanted to tell me more about the ministry and ask me about my life. And I said, oh, yeah, I grew up in the church.
Right.
You know, I'm here studying ministry to become a youth minister and et cetera, et cetera. And they proceeded to tell me that I needed to accept Jesus, that my faith, my baptism, my, you know, life up
doesn't
to this
count.
Point didn't count. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And like, refused to listen to me. As I said, like, no, my whole family is Christian. Like, I've gone to church my whole life. I believe in Jesus. I understand that Jesus died for me. And like, mm-hmm. But have you prayed the prayer?
Yeah.
Have you been baptized? Like, I was baptized as a kid. No. Did you choose to be baptized? My parents chose to baptize me because they wanted me to be raised in this faith.
Sure.
Like, stop it.
Right.
And that's the kind of, you know, mm-hmm. bad taste that mm-hmm. we often get in our mouths from that. And we then don't want to be perceived as that.
Right.
Sure.
And so then we are more hesitant to go out and share ourselves.
Yes,
yeah, it's like, I don't really want anyone knocking on my door to tell me anything in my neighborhood. And yet when we're like, that's kind of a model. Like, oh, we should just go knock on people's doors and tell them these things.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I would hate that.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't even matter what they're saying.
There's a great sign that's on a friend of mine's house. And it's essentially like, we gave it the office. We already go to church. We, you know, our kids are in whatever school. Unless you're selling Thin Mints, we don't need anything.
Right.
Go home.
Yeah, and so I think sometimes, we have this idea of like, well, the only way to do that is to kind of be a jerk about it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a way to have those conversations with compassion and tenderness and mercy. And it probably doesn't start with, let me tell you what I think. It probably more starts with, what are your spiritual views?
Sure.
Right.
What do you think about this world?
Right.
Yeah.
And engaging that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So several years ago, and I think I mentioned this before on the podcast, I was in like an emotional and mental rut. And so I decided I was going to sign up to do improv comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was something, a challenge that I was going to look at. And so I went my first night and I was scared to death. I'm an introvert. And so like going into a room of strangers is tough.
Right.
It's hard for me to do those things. And they asked the question that I was fearful they were going to ask. And that's, everybody go around, share your name and what you do. And I was like, well, this is it, right? Like, what am I going to say here?
You know?
And so I shared my name and that I work at a church doing youth ministry. And I'm like, None of these people are going to want to talk to me right now,
right?
Because like they probably have an image of Christianity that's not the one that I want to show. But I also felt this a strange calling because I was like, the only people I ever interact with are already Christians at church, at work. I'm just constantly surrounded by Christians, and so how do I go into a place that I'm asking my kids to do, to like, hey, talk about your faith openly, talk about it honestly, talk about it with compassion when I'm not doing those things.
Yeah, sure.
And so through my year and a half of doing improv, I had a lot of conversations with the people that I was on stage with and I worked with, and just kind of like, they would share like, I used to be Christian and I fell off and now I kind of have more of like a Buddhist spiritualism, or I was never this way. And one guy even told me, I'm pretty funny for a Christian. Or for a pastor is what he said.
Yeah,
I don't think he got it, but
yeah.
I was like, that's pretty funny. You know,
yeah,
like, you know, like, and so
I'll
like
wear that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, I'll take that. Pretty funny for a pastor. I'm not really a pastor, and I'm not really funny. One second. Yes. But I did really, you know, see that as like, this is a neat way for me just to engage in life with people. And mm-hmm. I'm open about what I believe. I was never like, I'm going to hide or just do this. But I'm also not going to let that limit me on how do I engage mm-hmm. and respond to people. And some of our sketches were religious themed, mm-hmm. and none of them were probably ultimately pointing to Jesus. Right, you know, like these are evangelical themes.
Yeah. Right.
But it was neat to say, like, I got a chance to come in and like I'm living life with these people for this time period, and I can be open about my faith. Mm-hmm. It was never this idea of I need to point.
Right.
This is my conversion moment here, where I'm going to spread the gospel, baptize all my crew. Yeah. But it's a way just to be open and honest and kind and through all of those same things.
So, theological question.
Sure.
If you were in a sketch.
Sure.
And in the sketch, you baptized someone. Does it count?
You know, I'll have to go back to improv and I'll just make all my skits about baptism.
It'll be like Michael Scott when he brings a gun into every.
I have a cup of water that's sprinkling on people.
What's the most exciting thing you can bring? Cup of water. Baptized. So I always start with baptism. That's always where my sketch goes. Yeah.
So this Christmas season, our hope for you is not only that you feel the love of God, but you're finding ways to share and express mm-hmm. that to the world. And I think that's not just something that God calls
the
those with public platforms or those with extreme faith to do, but it's something God calls all of us mm-hmm. to do, is to have that kind of lifestyle that is very open about what we believe and also in a kind and loving way.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Excellent.
So we have some recommendations.
All right. What do we got today?
Oh, it's me. I'm up for recommendation. Yes. All right. So I'm going to recommend a book. This is a book I read in college, and it's probably, I would say, the start of maybe a deeper thinking of what it meant to be religious for me, or what it meant to be a Christian, because it was the first time I really started reading books mm-hmm. about Jesus. So I will recommend that one. It is called The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning.
Yep.
It's really great. He talks a lot about the gospel and the importance of feeling loved by Jesus. It's very, very focused on that. And it also, I think, can spur you. The more I think we feel the love of Jesus, the easier it is to want to share that love of Jesus in a healthy, respectful way. So Ragamuffin Gospel, Brennan Manning.
Hmm. All right.
Yes.
I like it.
Thanks for the recommendation, Patrick. Hey, if you are liking what you hear, be sure to subscribe. You can rate and review us on all of your favorite podcast providers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Hey, this week we've got
something. Are we on Napster?
We are not on Napster because it's not 1994.
Katie's on Napster.
It's a whole other story. Hey, we do have something exciting and new to hopefully brighten your holiday seasons. Patrick and Katie and I have put together a little Christmas playlist that's available for your perusal and enjoyment. Patrick, how can they find those Christmas playlists?
Yes, so it is on Apple Music and Spotify.
All right.
So you need to search Beyond Sunday Christmas, and you'll see that. We've each chosen 5 songs.
Yep.
And we've put together a little Christmas playlist for you. Some are funny, some are deep, some are more slow and introspective, some are more upbeat and poppy.
And one's about a hippo.
One's about a hippo.
That was mine.
So you can find that. We hope that you enjoy that throughout these weeks leading up to and the season of Christmas that's coming afterwards. You can find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com for all of our most recent episodes. Be sure to send us an email. Let us know what you think at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast. You can get us at Instagram at beyond_podcast. Nope, beyond_Sunday on Instagram.com.
Yes. I think that's it.
That's it.
All right.
Have a great day, everybody.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.